Christian greetings to everyone this morning. Welcome to God's house. For a message, I would like to look at light. The title is, the light of the world. And the reason I debated about what to call this, and because if you look, there's a couple different places in the scripture, it suggests different things as the light of the world. And so we're going to put a comma there, and then as we go along, we're going to fill that in. You know, we're very familiar with light. We have lights all over the place. We're aware of bright lights, dim lights, spotlights, floodlights, electric lights, battery lights, direct lights, indirect lights. These right here are direct lights. The ones along the side are indirect lights. So we have all kinds of lighting. Where does light come from? Where does the energy from lights come from? It always traces back to a source. So when I was 9 years old, our family spent a year in Paraguay. And there was the first several months we lived there, there was not electricity in that area. So we lived without electricity. We had a lot of candles. We had those little bag glass gas lamps that burned a decent little light. And when electricity came, everyone was extremely excited, and it changed the economy of that area. Sometimes we hear about people having a light bulb moment. It implies we're in the darkness or didn't know what to do or think, and suddenly we have a good idea. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1 and see what is where light came from. And it's kind of interesting because when we think about it being light outside, we usually think about the sun causing it to be light, right? Well, if we look at these verses and we actually study out creation at all, we'll read verses, let's just start at verse 1 and we'll read through verse 5. Genesis 1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day." And then if you go on and study out the account, it wasn't until the fourth day that God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament," and he created the sun and the moon and all that. So there was light without the sun. There was simply light from God speaking the word, "Let there be light." So we can ask, is darkness the opposite or the absence of light? And if some of you might remember, we told that story on the program that 1 year about the professor and the Christians in science class discussing this question. And I'll just read a little from that. The Christian asked, "Is there such a thing as darkness, professor?" "That's a dumb question, son. What is night if it isn't darkness?" "You're wrong, sir. Darkness is not something. It is the absence of something. You can have low light, normal light, bright light, flashing light, but if you have no light constantly, you have nothing, and it's called darkness, isn't it? That's the meaning to define the word. In reality, darkness is not. If it were something, you would be able to make darkness darker and give me a jar of it. Can you give me a jar of darker darkness, professor?" So that kind of makes the point that light is what we have, and the absence of light is what we call darkness, but there isn't actually darkness. So I have read that the gross domestic product, or GDP as we most times know it, of the U.S. is $20 trillion. And if you take that $20 trillion from 1 year of the things that are the products that are sold from the U.S., it would take 1 million years to power the sun. It would take to create enough energy to power the sun for 1 second. Okay, I kind of had that a little bit twisted up. Did you follow? So let me try to say it a little more clearly. To get enough energy to power the sun for 1 second, it would take $20 trillion a year for a million years. And the sun shines every day. So what is the source of this energy? Well, God said. In Luke chapter 2, we remember when Simeon was holding Jesus, baby Jesus, he said, "A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." So what kind of baby can give light to the Gentiles? Let's turn to John chapter 1. We're going to read a number of verses there. John chapter 1. Remember, by the word of God, light came on the earth. So think about that as we look, as we read these verses. So let's see. I would like to have the boys help with this, you young men. So we'll start. Let's start with Sheldon, and we'll read back through Zach and Harlan's row there, and just keep reading around then until we get to, we're going to read verses 1 through 14. And these are some pretty important verses, so make sure everybody can hear you. And maybe to help make that happen, go ahead, when it's your turn, stand up and read your verse. So Sheldon, you'll start out in verse 1. And as they're reading these verses, let's also be looking for a word that it says is light. Like what other word do we think about or use that is the same as light? So you'll read through, stop with verse 14. So go ahead, Sheldon, stand up when you each read your verse and just read one verse at a time over through.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made.
In Him was life, and the life was the light of men.
And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it.
There was a man sent from Gad, whose name was John.
The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe.
He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light.
There was a light, it was the true light, which lightened every man that cometh unto the world.
He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not.
He came unto his own, and his own received him not.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
Okay, Sheldon, go ahead.
Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Okay, thank you. So there's a place in here that says light is something else. who wants to venture what that word is? We're going to find four words in the message here that is are synonymous with light. Life. Thank you. In verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Okay, so we're going to put that list up here along with the title. And a couple verses to notice here. Verse 9, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. It says every man. And then in verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we have life, light, and that gives power. So the sun shines almost every day. I mean, it shines every day. We don't always see it. But if you think about it, most of you know that I believe that it's a good idea to have something growing all the time if we're trying to be a farmer or a gardener. And the reason for that is because if there's the light can be shining, the sun can, there it can be 90 degrees and perfect growing conditions, but if it's shining on bare dirt with nothing planted or nothing there to grow, it doesn't do any good, right? So it is important to think about when the light of life is shining, Jesus will shine. The light of life will be shining, but there needs to be something. In verse 12, it talks about that, the power to take it up. In Psalm 119, 105, it says, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. Again, thy word, the word is light. Okay, let's look at John chapter 8, and this has the next word we're going to, it starts to build on this word we're looking, the next one we're looking for. We have light and life, and now we're moving on. In John chapter 8, verse 12, we're just going to read through verse 19 here. It says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. If ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go, ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Anyone want to venture what the next word we're looking for that goes along with light? Truth. Thank you. Yes, truth. And it's interesting for anyone that was in the Sunday school class, I didn't think about Proverbs going along with this message, but we talked about some of these very things in Proverbs, especially about truth and what is truth. And Jesus said here right over in the next, in John 8, just to, verse 31 and 32, he said, then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let us go to John 9 now. John 9, verses 4 and 5. Jesus talks about what he is. Okay. In verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So the other verses we read in John 8 said, in verse 12, it says, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me will not walk in darkness. Now he says, as long as I am in the world. So let's put on the title, we're going to put Jesus, because he said he is the light of the world. So Jesus is the light of the world. But here he says in verse 5 of chapter 9, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So you start to see a shift. Okay, let's turn to John chapter 3 now. Okay, sorry, I missed one verse in chapter 12 that I believe is an important verse, so I'm going to flip back to chapter 12. In chapter 12, verse 46, Jesus said again, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm a little. There's a couple verses I should have read first before that one. So let me back up here. Chapter 9. Okay, so Jesus said, yes, in verse 5 of chapter 9, he said, as long as I am in the world. Okay, so, and then, now we need to read in John chapter 12. I missed getting these. In John chapter 12, verse 35 and 36. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. Okay, that's the verse, that's the one, the thought I was looking for, that ye may be the children of light. So Jesus said, he is the light of the world as long as he's here. Then he said, walk in this light so that you can be the children of light. And then verse 46, he said again, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Okay, now we're ready to move on. Sorry about that little mix up. So in John chapter 3, verse 19 to 21. So now we've got closer yet to the light. He's calling anyone who believes in him the children of light. And I think these verses are good ones to ponder as we think about communion coming up and looking into our own hearts and lives. In John 3, 19 to 21, it says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. And this is really the key verse. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So if we think about pondering our lives, I'm going to picture Jake working at a workbench, rebuilding a gearbox. And the gears all need shimmed just right, so the tolerance is right. And so he needs a bright light shining on it. And he leans in real close over his gearbox to see just what he needs to see. And he makes a shadow between the light and him. And he suddenly can't see what he looked in to see. Or think about sometimes go to take a picture of something. And you think, oh, the lighting is just right, shining just on it, just right. And you go to take a picture, and all of a sudden your shadow is across, and there you see it. And if you take the picture, you can see yourself standing there with holding your phone. So it's important that the light is shining on the needs, on the need. It needs to be the light needs to be between us and the issue we're trying to fix or work on. Think about that. If the light is somewhere out and we're between the light and the need, we're not going to be able to see right. And it's not what we perceive or what we feel or think or wish for is actually true. It says, he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. So we are called the children of light. If we're God's children following him, let's turn to Proverbs and chapter 4. In Proverbs chapter 4, in verse 18, it says this: the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And Laverne mentioned this thought in Sunday school. He said something to the effect that in adversity, if we maintain our integrity, our light will shine brighter and brighter. And that's exactly what this verse says. The path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more. And we've all heard of midlife crisis, and I don't know, I'm not 45 yet, so maybe I'll experience more fully what that is. But it should concern us deeply if we are God's children and we are following Christ, and if we are a middle-aged man or woman, and we would rather hunker back in the shadows than walk in the light where our deeds and the things we do and say will be made manifest. Your light should be shining brighter and brighter as we mature in Christ. James Monroe, who was the fifth president, this is, I'm reading here a quote, or out of a book. It's James Monroe, the fifth president, was never considered to be very brilliant, but his honesty and integrity were beyond reproach. His contemporary, Thomas Jefferson, said this about James: he is a man whose soul might be turned inside out without discovering a blemish. End of that quote. So then here's another one. How do you gain such a reputation? Will Rogers advises, live in such a way that you would not be ashamed to sell your parrot to the town gossip. And now something my mother always said, I remember quite often, she would say, if you only speak the truth, you don't need to try to remember exactly what words you used in every given situation. Okay, let's turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 in verse 22 through 24. Jesus' words here. He said, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either ye will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." And we could maybe call this spiritual double vision. I haven't ever struggled with that, but people that have that problem, it can be very frustrating, because they're almost like you're seeing two different things at one time and you can't see either one very good. But these words, these verses speak of a choice, and we heard about that this morning as well. And we are either walking in the light and our life and light is shining brighter and brighter, or we are choosing to hang out in the shadows and our life gets darker and darker. You cannot serve God and mammon. And when Jesus talked about the judgment, if you think about it, when he talked about people being cast into outer darkness, I believe that even in this sinful world, there's a certain amount of light because of Jesus and his light and life in God, in his people who are living in the world. And one of the things that he describes in judgment of sin and sinful people in hell is that it will be outer darkness. There will be no light, even though there's fire and there's heat. There will be no light. Nothing from Jesus will be able to reach that place. Okay, let's turn to Acts chapter 9, and we're going to look at the story of Saul and think about this, the light. In Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 18, I think we'll just take the time to read this story. And you think about it, how light came about at creation, what Jesus said himself is the light, and now what Saul experienced here in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 18. "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they be men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way that thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. Okay, so Saul was struck with a light that was much brighter than the sun. I suppose the sun was shining that day, and he was walking on the road, and he was struck down. And so we talked about how much energy the sun has, the sunshine, and this light that struck him was much brighter than that. And Saul, at that point, had to make a choice. He could either just said, I mean, he could have cursed God. He could have cursed that light. He could have, or he could have done what he did here. And can you imagine I was going to say the pride he needed to swallow with what he had been doing, and suddenly he was asking these kind of questions. You don't want to swallow pride, because that means it's still inside. You want to just get rid of it. But he had been serving the Lord with as much zeal as he knew how, and he was struck down by a great light. And somewhat along with what Laverne had mentioned in Sunday school as well about the thought of facing adversity. When we're faced with these kind of things in life, it probably won't be something like a great light shining and knocking us down like this, but we will either be made bitter or better. And I thought about that. Some of you know my Aunt Martha that just passed away a couple weeks ago, or Jake's went to the funeral, and I don't know her very well, but you know, my mother and her younger sister Martha grew up together, and they faced a lot of the same things or circumstances in life, growing up at least. And I think this was some of the difference, I know this was the difference. The one chose to make those things make her a better person, and the other chose, or maybe didn't choose, but left them make her bitter. And we'll let God be the judge. We'll leave it at that. But the things we choose to do with the hard things we face in life will make us bitter or better. Okay, so let's look at Paul's testimony here yet. Let's go over to Acts chapter 26. And Paul, later, of course, after he was converted, He tells this same story to King Agrippa. And we can see here what he did with this light that shone on his path. In Acts chapter 26, we'll read verses 12 through 20. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are kind of, sort of making it hard for me to know. I am Jesus, whom you persecute, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Okay, this is the same man then in 2 Corinthians. Are you feeling the magnitude of this light, that the light and life and truth, and we have one more to look at yet, but are you getting the magnitude of the light? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 through 6. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. So the same light that shined at creation, and it was light, is the same light that is shining in our hearts as we choose to let it shine its spotlight on us. Okay, so now Matthew 5, we'll look at the last part here in Matthew 5. Here's why we left a blank on the title, because in Matthew 5, verse 14, this is what Jesus said. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So now, in this account, Jesus said, you, his followers, his children, the children of light. So we're going to put that up here as part of the title as well, you. So there's... if you think about the Great Commission, what Jesus commanded his followers to do, he said, go out into all the world and tell about what he is and what he is doing. So there's a little children's song we all know. I would like the children to, anyone 10 years and younger, will stand up and sing this song. And I'd like the adults to help with it, but the adults will remain sitting down. So children 10 years and old, please stand up wherever you are. And we're going to sing This Little Light of Mine. and we'll do the motions with it. We'll sing "This Little Light of Mine, Don't Let Satan Blow It Out, and Let It Shine Till Jesus Come." We'll sing those three verses. And that, if you didn't know it before, children, this is where this song was taken from, right here, these verses we read. Okay, ready? And we'll do the motions on it. Okay, "This Little Light of Mine."
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Don't let Satan put me out, I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan put me out, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Okay, you can sit down, thank you. Let's turn to Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 8 through 14, it talks about walking as children of light. And I'll just read those real quick. In verses 8 through 14, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Arise, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." So it says, walk as children of light. And what I noticed when we were singing, I was trying not to be too critical, but the children weren't, most of them weren't embarrassed to do this, but there were some adults that were embarrassed. So let's all sing that last verse again and walk as children of light as we sing that. And the adults, the children weren't ashamed, but some adults were a little bashful about that. So we'll sing that last verse again and not be ashamed as children.
Let it shine till Jesus comes, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Okay, thank you. So the last one, the word we're looking for here is in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Okay, what word associated with light are we looking for here? Fellowship. Thank you. So here's our lineup. Light, life, truth, and fellowship. And I think these are some of the clearest, simplest teachings in the scripture, these four verses that we just read. Study over them yourself and think on them. If you are walking in the light, you will have, enjoy, crave, do whatever it takes to have the light, life, truth, and fellowship. Okay, for a closing verse, let's turn to Revelation 21. This is the, what we could say, the culmination of all these words together in Revelation 21, verses 22 through 27. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty, the Lamb, are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Let's kneel for prayer.